body count around Bill and Hillary Clinton is climbing faster than a fat monkey in a swamp full of starving alligators. I think it's more than just a coincidence that so many of the president's advisors, his aides and attorneys, are being Arkansas-ed or chosen for premature funerals by the Faustian finger of fate. Are all of those surrounding Clinton who claim to have been threatened with bodily harm if they stood up or spoke out simply paranoid people? Or do they somehow suffer from some abnormal illusion that the president would have them terminated if they dared talk? We're being asked by this administration to believe that William Jefferson Clinton is just as innocent as O.J. Are we not being asked to believe that the president is a paragon of virtue without vice and that he represents high moral standards? When you hear the words integrity, honesty, loyalty, does the name Clinton spell it all? Now, I'm not personally accusing Clinton of ever carrying out any of these kills, but then the head of Murder Incorporated rarely, if ever, carried out a hit. The question then arises, are contracts for these kills carried out by some of his agency's Igors, or the invisible government's obedient robotons? They, like Nazis, are taught to obey. They rarely, if ever, think for themselves. Agents of the FBI, the CIA, the ATF, and FEMA are generally obedient to the commander-in-chief. When they're not, they seem to have very early retirements. In fact, often their careers and their lives are brought to an abrupt halt, but none dare call it murder. Is the president surrounded by individuals who would do whatever is necessary for him to retain the presidency?
Well, Anthony, I think that he certainly has a group of people that have been very aggressive in seeing that the truth does not come out on a number of scandals that involve him. We saw in the Paula Jones case the way that people like Paula Jones and the people that supported her were criticized and discredited. We see in Whitewater, I think, a pattern of obstruction where White House officials have not turned over to the committees and to the independent counsel the documents on a timely fashion. And the conflicting stories, you know, the documents, the billing records from the Rose Law Firm that suddenly reappeared in a room that very few people had access in the White House. Certainly, I don't think the butler did it.
When we take a look at Vince Foster's accepted suicide by both the Democratic and Republican members of the Whitewater or Whitewash Committee, we see them accepting Vince Foster having gone out into this Marcy Park and walked some 600 or 700 feet and not having had any dirt on the bottom of his shoes. I mean, how can anybody buy into this?
Well, look, as my boss told me when I was fired, everybody knows Vince Foster didn't commit suicide. It's a joke. It's a charade. The fact that the government keeps harping on the suicide scenario, it's just the ultimate cynicism, frankly, in my view. And in fact, Newt Gingrich has come out and said as much. To continue with this suicide story, to continue believing it, requires gullibility to the point of stupidity. And he's told Representative Clinger, go hold some real hearings on this. Find out what really went on. I think they're realizing that this whole cover-up is falling apart in shreds.
Isn't the President of the United States asking us to do what he asked Paula Jones to do?
Are you serious? We are asked to believe certain things that I don't think add up. And, you know, I always joke that Mrs. Clinton's next book should be called It Takes a Village Idiot. It takes a village idiot to believe the stories, the cock and bull stories that we've heard about Vince Foster's death, about billing records that suddenly appear, about torn suicide notes that suddenly appear in briefcases that were already searched. There's a lot more here than just a financial land deal that took place in the 80s in Arkansas. This is about the abuse of power.
The president seems to want a transference of power from the people to the president and the police, I mean, for all time.
Yeah, that's what's going on. That's what frightens me the most. We hope in our own little way to try to cut that kind of power amassing off.
Bill Clinton is attempting to do today exactly what Adolf Hitler did in Nazi Germany.
Durch die geniale schöpferische Tätigkeit eines gestalteten Mannes zu einem neuen Imperium geworden.
Nun ab und für immer eine Gleichwertigkeit der politischen Intentionen in Reich und in den Ländern gewährleistet. Es ist Sache des Reichstags, nunmehr seinerseits eine klare Stellung einzunehmen. Am Schicksal des Kommunismus und der sich mit ihm verbrüdernden anderen Organisationen ändert dies nichts.
The cover-up story that the government has been purveying, it just doesn't wash. Reasonable people just aren't going to believe it. Let's cut the cover-up and get to the facts here.
Personally, I am more inclined to believe, or I would be more apt to believe, that Clinton could walk on water before I could believe that Vince Foster could walk on air. How could any rational human being in the news media, a reporter, a news director, buy into this story that Vince Foster literally walked on air to get into the Fort Marcy Park to commit suicide?
Well, it shows, I think, how far the media has come, that they want to deny reality and the laws of nature. He was found with no soil or grass stains on his shoes, despite the 700-feet walk they claim he made. His eyeglasses, they found 20 feet from where his head lay, a physically impossible. The position of the gun was physically impossible or unusual. There's so many things like this, dozens of them. It indicates, I think, that we're starting to believe the big lie.
How many people have been Arkansided around Clinton?
I believe the Arkanside count is approaching 40, and we've had a witness directly related to the Mena, Arkansas airport killed. I'm convinced it was a homicide, although the official ruling was the guy decided to drink enough mouthwash to die on. Pretty bad case of halitosis or someone helped him along, which is...
When we're talking about Arkansides, we're talking about murders disguised as suicides. Is there any doubt in your mind, any doubt at all, that the president has been involved in the cover-up of a massive narcotics ring, and has the president, through Dan Lassiter and his brother Roger, been involved in narcotics himself?
There's no doubt in my mind the president has been involved in the cover-up.
Most reporters will simply go along with the editorial policy of a newspaper or a publication, especially if they're one of those Cassius-controlled publications from New York.
Well, I was thought I was going along with procedures at Forbes as well. Unfortunately, some of the information I came across, including information about a Swiss bank account involving Caspar Weinberger, the publisher emeritus of the magazine, it hit a raw nerve. And next thing I know, I was asked to take a buyout or go on unpaid leave. I was, in effect, terminated. I just got too close to the truth.
Dan Lassiter, Roger Clinton, the whole Clinton family was involved in this at Bill's level as the cocaine was transported into Arkansas.
I've heard about a picture existing with where Clinton is doing a line. He's got a straw up his nose. I've never been able to find that, but maybe somebody listening to the show will come up with that picture. It would be most interesting. I'd like to see it on maybe front cover of something like Media Bypass.
That'd be nice. I don't have such photo either. I think it'd probably be very unhealthy to own that photograph. You might be added to the Arkansas list. Keep in mind, people have been have had their arms broken just because they happen to have photographs of him going in and out of Jennifer Flowers' apartment. So if that kind of behavior exists for those types of photographs, can you imagine what could happen to someone who has that photograph you just alluded to?
Now, my friend Larry Nichols is talking about the president actually being or having been a cocaine user.
It's quite known in inner circles in Arkansas that Bill Clinton did enjoy partying heavily and used drugs in that process. We even took a deposition of one of Bill Clinton's bodyguards who talked about Bill going to parties of Dan Lassiter's and cocaine being available in ashtrays to the point that you really couldn't find a place to put out a cigarette if you were a smoker. No. I was publicly ridiculed for saying that I witnessed Bill Clinton smoke marijuana. I think that's sort of changed now that the public has got a better feel of...
Let me ask you a question. Did the man inhale?
Oh, absolutely, with precision, as we say in the Air Force. A person who seemed to be very comfortable with a pack of papers in one hand and marijuana in the other.
Several eyewitnesses have testified that the Clinton boys have been heavy coke freaks. This film clip, taken from Jeremiah's startling undercover video, Mina, The Cover-Up, shows Roger Clinton in this police surveillance tape doing a line of cocaine. Roger, referring to Bill's habits, said, "I've got to get some from my brother. He's got a nose like a vacuum cleaner."
Personally, I don't care what Bill Clinton puts up his nose, or who he goes to bed with, or what. Essentially, the man is out of control. Let me retract that. I believe that Clinton's narcotic habit has been under control, excepting maybe that one time when it's rumored that he went into a drug rehab center for, to kick the habit. But it does make you wonder why he keeps his medical record sealed and secret. But perhaps that's only because of some sexually transmitted disease. You're probably wondering, what does snorting and trafficking in cocaine have to do with murder? Other than that some addicts and pushers have killed for it, some have died for it, and almost everybody involved has lied for it. That big, bulbous, red, runny nose of Clinton's doesn't have me worried so much as the fact that he has his finger on the button that could blow up the world.
Act now by getting your copy of this civil defense leaflet, Atomic Blast Creates Fire.
In 1992, Bill Clinton was Time Magazine's Man of the Year. In 1936, Time Magazine's Man of the Year was Adolf Hitler.
We've talked about the Good Old Boy Network, and they have signs up at their Good Old Boy meeting. This is no niggers allowed, and then they issued official nigger hunting licenses. And Larry Nichols has told me that privately, Clinton will refer to, like, Jesse Jackson as that dumb nigger, and he will make racial statements. Nichols says that he is a racist, a bigot. Is there any truth to that, or is this all just rumor?
Well, considering Bill Clinton's background and where he was raised, southern part of the state of Arkansas, I don't find that hard to believe.
But then maybe Clinton just has Hitler's family values.
The most ingenious weapon that this brain has perfected is this. A weapon of war. Play race against race.
Hitler! Dick! Dick!
Yeah, the nigger, some J.
junior high nigger kicks Steve's ass while he was trying to help his brothers out.
Was he a junior right there?
Junior high or sophomore in high school or something. Whatever it was, Steve had the nigger down. However old he was, it was Steve's fault. He had the nigger down, he let him up.
Speaking of Clinton family values, Dick Morris, who was hired to set the moral agenda for the Clinton campaign, has been heavy into toe-sucking and foot fetishes and S&M, which, if you're interested, can be found in the fetish section of your local porn store. Dick Morris may no longer have the toes of Sherry Rollins, but he definitely has the ear of Bill Clinton.
Did you hear about the terrible bombing last night? Well, I heard it on good authority.
But enough of Clinton family values. The question is, would that dope-smoking, cocaine-snorting, draft-dodging, lunatic leftist that we now call Mr. President actually do a contract kill in order to get rid of outspoken opposition? This is the same radical revolutionary who was so enamored with the killers in the Kremlin that he left this nation to go to the Soviet Union and demonstrate against the United States. In much the same manner, I might add, that Lee Harvey Oswald did when he embraced the Bolshevik butchers. This was at the time when our men were fighting and dying in Vietnam to protect this precious thing called freedom. Young comrade Clinton was swapping spit with the Soviets while carrying on demonstrations against the United States. I repeat, the United States of America. Envision, if you will, that you're in Nazi Germany. The year is 1936, and Adolf Hitler is your president. Agents of the SS and the Gestapo are literally killing off all opposition to Hitler's rule. And you've become privy to the fact that death camps are being set up to eliminate large numbers of your fellow citizens, those who refuse to comply with the program of the Third Reich. Now here's the question. Would you, with good conscience, willingly contribute by paying taxes for this terror? And if you did, would you not be an accessory to murder? It's 60 years later. If you were told that agents of the FBI and the CIA were being paid with your monies to murder Vince Foster and other embarrassments to this administration, would you voluntarily contribute? What if you were to discover that the president and his army of Igors were attempting to surrender the sovereignty of the United States of America and set up a new world order upon the ashes of the country you were born in?
In your opinion, was Vince Foster Arkansided?
Vince Foster was murdered, and I believe he was actually killed in the White House. The night that Vince Foster was killed, not committed suicide, Robert Getson called me, apparently drunk, and had stated to me on the phone, we did him, and I asked, did who? And he said, Vince Foster. In that conversation, he told me that Vince Foster had, quote-unquote, gone entrepreneurial on us, and that he had specifically been killed because he had been selling NSA codes to a foreign government and had the proceeds of his operation sent to a Swiss bank account.
Now, he was going back and forth between Switzerland, sometimes only staying a day, sometimes only an hour, and then coming back to the United States. Was this for the transference of funds?
One would tend to think so. His wife didn't even know he took those trips.
Foster had at least one, probably several Swiss bank accounts. One of those accounts, he was receiving payments from the State of Israel. That's been ascertained by intelligence sources that I've talked to, corroborated by multiple independent sources. There's no problem with that. Other journalists have been corroborating this stuff, too. And there are a multitude of other Swiss bank accounts, other offshore bank accounts. The intelligence community does have significant computer surveillance and investigative means to look inside these banks, to find these accounts, and to go after these people if they had a will to.
And it's overwhelming evidence of foul play. He's found with a gun he doesn't own. It's in his hand, which is unusual. Usually it flies from the hand after the explosion. No fingerprints on the gun. No one heard the fired shot. They didn't find the fatal bullet that was fired. There was no blood or blowback visible. No fingerprints on the gun, even though it was in his hand. Mm-hmm. I mean, at what point does anyone say, a rational person, this doesn't add up? And then the FBI forensic evidence showed that neither hand was on the gun's grip when it was fired. This is physically inconsistent with suicide.
Did the Oklahoma bombing have a distinct CIA signature? Did the bombing involve the Clinton administration? I mean, if you believe that he didn't have anything to do with it, you probably believe that Lee Harvey Oswald shot and killed Kennedy. Did Lee Harvey McVeigh do this job in the Oklahoma building?
No, he didn't.
He did not?
He did not.
You were in the White House, were you not?
I worked with a multi-jurisdictional team that operated out of the executive office of the president.
And what were they doing?
Initially, we were doing a national network surveillance project, and that transitioned into an espionage project, an absolute surveillance of the Clinton administration from the inception of the presidency.
Now, the word espionage indicates that this would be run under the operation of a foreign government.
Correct.
The Japanese?
The Japanese. We were reporting to the Embassy of Japan in Washington, D.C.
What we know is this. Vince Foster had in his possession, shortly before he died, extremely sensitive binders of information from the National Security Agency. What specifically was in those binders, we don't know yet. Some of my sources are saying, in fact, they involved protocols, codes, authentication codes by which the president would proceed to effect an order of the use of nuclear weapons. Now, whether another government could use that, or whether another government having that information could preempt the U.S. using it at a crucial moment?
Now, what you're saying is that the United States codes, which are privy to the President of the United States, were given to a foreign government by Vince Foster, thus allowing them or giving them the capacity to
create a nuclear holiday. That's the suspicion, or who knows what actually could have been done with it, or what was ever contemplated doing. I mean, a worst-case scenario is conceivably, yes, somebody, maybe not the Israelis, but maybe somebody they could sell the stuff on to, could either do it or, more likely, threaten it for extortion purposes. Ultimately, I think you have to think in terms of money rather than actual use of nuclear weapons. But still, the political impact within our country of the knowledge that these kind of documents could have been released, it would cause a political firestorm, which is why Vince Foster's death has been a cover-up.
Field, Getzman,
Thomas Stanley.
Tell us about these characters. And one was with the FBI, one the DIA, and one the CIA.
As they were introduced to me initially, Robert Getzman introduced himself from the executive office of the president while he was under Bush. Mm-hmm. And I identified him from the State Department and from within the FBI as being a senior FBI official holding what they called dual agency, clearances both for the FBI and CIA. Cofield was introduced to me in Washington as a DIA agent.
Now, you were working with these individuals?
Yes.
And you were involved in bugging the White House?
Yes. We delivered from the inception of Clinton's presidency, starting at the inaugural, we delivered compromised equipment to Clinton's VIP tent at the Lincoln Memorial during the inaugural, and again at the executive office, starting with Hillary's Macintosh computer. The first order that she put out, first purchase order, was delivered by Peter Stanley, who was part of our team. That was a Macintosh computer that had a compromised chip in it for surveillance.
They're not going to keep the lid on this. Vince Foster was under surveillance and investigation for espionage at the time of his death.
We were more focused on installing technical equipment in order to compromise White House communications on behalf of the Japanese. So the
now
focus was the technical aspect.
You've got a bachelor in criminology out
yes.
here at Long Beach. We were at the Preparedness Expo. Are we prepared to face as a nation what is coming down if this legislation passes, where we would be without a first, a second, fourth, fifth, sixth, tenth amendment?
I don't think we're prepared. I think that they haven't anticipated what the backlash will be. I think that there are millions of people in this country ready to take up arms.
If you see a pattern in all the FBI witness statements for the Fisk investigation and Foster's death, Susan Thomas is now saying they got the statement wrong. Webb Hubble has given a different account. The first witness to find the body says the FBI manipulated his witness statement. You have Patrick Knowlton. You have other witnesses that have come forward and told the grand jury the statements don't match. Very serious. If all these witness statements were manipulated to make it look like no foul play took place, you know, what are these investigative agencies doing?
You knew about the pressure put upon the gal with the salon in Arkansas, Little Rock, Well, I think they told her shut up or die, right?
Yes, I was told specifically by a high-ranking member of the military, that two military personnel were sent to that woman and told that.
And we're talking then about the first lady or the first man, having an affair with a lady in a salon in Arkansas. But I mean, the steady stream of women coming in and out of the White House are really not so much to see Bill, but to see Hillary. I mean, you must have known about it.
I was really never given any information about that.
Yeah. In a nutshell, I became a living liability to a lot of prominent politicians from various administrations. I'd worked for my government covertly on various intelligence operations. My background is Air Force intelligence, and I'd been recruited into some operations that the government would sort of like to forget ever happened, namely Iran-Contra. And as the secret policy became public policy after the shoot down of that C-123 military cargo plane in 1987, after that occurred, the agents in the field, people like myself, were disavowed and abandoned. And as presidents and vice presidents and secretaries of state ran scurrying for cover, hiring lawyers, those of us that were left in the field felt pretty cold and alone. And many people that have been involved in this situation end up either dead, in prison, or publicly ridiculed.
You were working with Cofield.
And quite publicly, I might add. This hadn't been a secret to anyone. We had been out across the country attending computer conventions, meeting with the heads, the CEOs and chairmen of many of the leading computer companies in the industry.
But these are covert FBI and DIA operations.
Yes.
Were they involved, these individuals involved in the stealing of the INSLAW technology that was in part developed by or in revolving around Reconosciuto?
Well, the CIA was certainly involved with that. It was a topic of conversation constantly during the years that I spent with these men, because various versions of that software were used not only within the CIA and other parts of the government, it was sold off to foreign governments illegally.
Is there any possibility whatsoever, and I'm talking about any now, that Vince Foster came out of the White House, drove over to the park, got out, walked on air, and shot himself in the manner and the fashion that the president is asking us to believe?
There's no evidence that he went to the park, that he was alive in the park, and that he died even in the park. We know that his body was found in the park. That's all we know. One thing that's incredible is that the police, when they searched his pockets at the park, didn't find his car keys. If the theory is he drove there and walked them to the park, they should have had his car keys in the pockets. They claim that it didn't bother them, they didn't find the keys, they let the body leave the park and go to the morgue. And then suddenly they realize, oh, we need the car keys, so they go to the morgue, only after White House officials showed up ostensibly to identify the body, and suddenly find not one but two sets of keys in his right pocket, in a pocket that had already been searched.
Well, that's amazing, but maybe there was a third set of keys, because he couldn't have possibly gotten to the park if there were no keys in his pocket when the body was searched. Maybe a bird or an animal ate these keys.
That's right. And maybe you believe in the Tooth Fairy, too.
Technical Fairy, voice class, at your service.
Reconosciuto talks about the device that took out the Oklahoma building as being his bomb. I mean, something that he developed prior to his incarceration by the boys, because I guess he was getting too hot to handle.
Yes, in fact, what people don't seem to know about Michael is that his father was a long-standing member of the CIA, and he'd basically been born into the business, was a child prodigy, and experienced a lot of success early on, as early as age 12, with technical pieces of equipment that he had designed, and that he was basically controlled from his childhood on by the CIA, and they had developed this jacket that they eventually incarcerated him over, the alleged dope operation that he was involved with, because he was becoming uncontrollable.
Is he a bright guy?
He's extremely intelligent.
IQ 180, 190?
At least.
Minimum. He called me three times from inside out. We discussed a lot of the matters that are going on right now. He says that the bomb that was used at Oklahoma was a government device, a barometric bomb, which has a very distinct CIA signature and resulted in the asymmetrical conclusion, which could not possibly have been possible from an ammonium nitrate charge, which would expand like a severe, cutting out things equally at all distances from the epicenter of the blast. This couldn't possibly happen when you take a look at the facility, and I'm taking a look at it right now. Here's a story in the New American, explosive evidence cover-up in Oklahoma City, and when you see the one section over here towards the left, if you go to the very, very top, there is an office there that was held by the Secret Service, and below that was an ATF office.
Yes.
And the ATF boys weren't there that day. Their children were not in the nursery. They didn't show up.
That's right. In fact, there was only administrative staff. I guess they decided to sacrifice secretaries. However, six persons from the Secret Service, including Alan Witcher, were killed on the floor above them.
Now, Alan Witcher, they wanted to get rid of because
Absolutely.
He was a problem.
He was a considerable problem. He was the only weak link in a chain of information regarding the executive office bugging, and the fact that Alan had been with that protection detail with the Bush administration, with the Clinton administration, and he was also the supervisor of the elite counterterrorism unit of the Secret Service.
So there was a switchover from the Bush administration to the Clinton administration. Essentially, the same boys
Exactly.
are in there. The presidents may change. The ideology and the direction does not.
Right.
It involves a hit parade of our government's leadership, both political parties, which is why there is no political will in Congress to really go into this and unearth what's been going on here.
Robert Getzman headed the team. Robert Getzman had been around a long time. He reported to Ollie North when Ollie was the National Security Council, or at the National Security Council under Bush. So Getzman had been around this whole time, and this whole group, including Witcher, transitioned to the
now,
Clinton administration.
Harry, the head of the Department of Defense from the Council on Foreign Relations, essentially engineered, as you say, I mean, this is your theory, that he engineered the Japanese gassing to retaliate in exchange for what?
The compromise of White House communications for the entire Clinton administration.
Was Vince Foster the highest public official, I guess up until Ron Brown, that has been eliminated in public office since the death of Robert Kennedy?
We don't know that. We don't know that he was eliminated, and we don't know Ron Brown was eliminated. I mean, that's somebody's speculation, but...
None dare call it murder.
Speaking of killing the investigation, Getzman said that if you continued along your line, your present loose line of lip, so to speak, that he would have you smoked. Is this correct?
That's true. He specifically stated to me that he would kill both myself and my son if I talked about this operation, and most specifically about the Japanese embassy or the executive office bugging.
So it's not a question of even a murder-suicide. It's a question of whether there was a cover-up. And I think my book, Vincent Foster, The Ruddy Investigation, shows an overwhelming evidence that there was a cover-up of this high official's death. This poses a very great danger to all of us, because if they can cover up a high official's death, we're all in danger in this country.
Is their business the surrender of the sovereignty of the United States of America?
I believe so.
And this is the agency that once was working for you. It's dirty, and is Getzman dirty?
Yes, there's no question.
Now, you have on tape, do you not, a conversation with Getzman talking about his plans to ace you?
Yes.
On tape?
Yes. I actually tape recorded all of these agents having conversations with me, and the embassy having conversations with me. The entire contact I had with them is recorded.
Is there any possible way that these people could have died, all of them, around Clinton, accidentally?
No. I dare say that they call it murder. And I think that it is quite an implausible leap of assumption to think that they did indeed all commit suicide or whatever. Some of Fahmy Malik's adjudications as the coroner in Arkansas in the very early days, especially about the person who emptied five bullets into his chest and he ruled that a suicide. I forget the name of that person, but some of them are fantasies. But no, I think there's a lot of skullduggery afoot.
Coalfield.
Jim Coalfield.
Did he make the same assertion that he was going to take you out?
Yes. And he asserted he was delivering that message on behalf of Getzman.
On behalf of Getzman.
Right. And then Wes Thomas.
When we're talking about taking you out, and we're not talking to dinner, we're talking about death.
Right.
Murder by what device?
Oh, they suggest things that would be more covert, like they'll put in some type of agent on the doorknob of my house that'll be absorbed through my skin. Or they'll drive me off the road, or they'll blow up the plane I'm in, or they'll make sure it's not a direct hit so that they can't be directly responsible
for it. So we're talking essentially about Murder Incorporated here.
Yes.
Since William Jefferson Clinton took office, two American Holocausts have occurred. In Waco, you'd really have to get an inside view from somebody who was there, somebody who witnessed the horror and the Hitlerian tactics that were conducted by the ATF, the FBI, and Janet Reno's raiders. My friend, David Thibodeau, you were there. You saw what was going on. You witnessed the horror. Was the compound not a church?
Absolutely, it was a church. It was a place where people from all over the world could come to learn something called the Seven Seals.
The managed media has demonized David Koresh. They've made him a monster, a child molester. And in so doing, they have laid out the basis for the justification of the mass murder of the innocent men, women, and children who died there. Did he molest children?
No. One of the most powerful quotes I can think of right now is one by Senator Henry Clay in 1843, or 1893. He said, "The devices of power and its minions are the same in all countries and in all ages. It marks its victim, denounces it, and excites the public hatred to conceal its own abuses and its own encroachments," which is what's happened here. The media has come in, and through being fed what the government has told them, they have just presented this incredibly black scenario of Koresh and the people there that was not true at all.
And as I understand it, more than 40 witnesses to the Mena, Arkansas debacle have already been murdered, and 25...
Wait a minute, no. Arkansas.
Arkansas. Okay. and 25 federal employees out of FBI and ATF that have surrounded Clinton since his administration have already been killed.
Now, you know what happened to the attorney, Paul Wilshire?
No.
When he went over to give some information to the Justice Department, he's no longer with us. He's pushing up daisies, and a lot of people are pushing up daisies.
They needed from, a tape recorder on the telephone.
You testified, and correctly so, I might add, that Koresh came up to the front door.
Yeah.
He said, what's going on? What did he say?
Well, he held his hand out. He had the door in one hand. He had his arm out. Mm-hmm. He was unarmed. And he said, as the agents were rushing him, he said, hold on, there's women and children here. Let's talk about this. Let's work it out. And he said the door flew back in his hand from the velocity of a gun hitting it. And he slammed the door and fell back, and then all these bullets came through the foyer, hitting Perry Jones, a 70-year-old unarmed man, in the stomach. And when Perry went down, I guess is when some of the younger guys started to fire back in their defense. The interesting thing about this is there were two steel doors at the front of the building. The right-hand door, the door that didn't have much evidence, was entered into the record at the trials in San Antonio. It was entered into evidence. But the other door wasn't. Now, the other door, Jack Zimmerman, one of the attorneys that was inside, said that all these bullet holes were coming from the outside into the building through this door, a large number of bullets.
Yes.
That door was not entered into evidence. When the defense attorney said, where is this door? How come this has not been entered into evidence? The prosecution said that door must have disintegrated in the fire.
In June of 1994, Deborah was giving information to whom? J. Edgar Reno, 75 or 65 pages. It was faxed to her, talking about the compromise, talking about the espionage. I don't want to insult you, my dear, but I mean, why would you give it to somebody who obviously does not have the interest of this country and who is appointed by the president? What did you expect by her getting this information?
I sometimes wonder that myself, because in March of 94, mm-hmm. I had given all of my documents to Perry. He had turned them over to John Deutsch, who was then Assistant Secretary. Mm-hmm. I was informed by Perry's office that Deutsch was taking all of the documents to the Congress, specifically to the intelligence to be reviewed basically by them to take action. And what then occurred was that Deutsch ultimately became the appointee for the CIA. It didn't seem like there was any prosecution activity taking place, and so I thought 3 months later that I should put something into the Justice Department, and that's why I sent that into Reno's office.
But it's an Injustice Department, and
correct.
We've got the first lesbian lady of law, Janet Reno, covering up the Waco hearings, manipulating the media, telling bold-faced lies about the whole operation. The government has testified that they had a film or a tape of all of this,
yeah.
And that tape suddenly disappeared.
They said it came out blank. Is what the ATF, the FBI said
all
that they never received any tapes.
All of the film came out,
yeah.
With the exception of the proof that would show that the ATF opened fire and murdered the man.
Yeah, the activity at the front door.
Right. They murdered one man, and his name was?
Perry Jones.
Perry Jones
was also
murdered.
Winston Blake was murdered the first day from the helicopters firing into the building.
And the helicopters were firing
into
the building.
Oh, yeah. Three different eyewitnesses I spoke to claim, all swear that they saw the helicopters firing. I did not see them firing, but I saw the evidence, the physical evidence from the building, the bullet holes coming through the roof later, and during the siege, I saw the evidence of the helicopters firing.
I don't understand. Why none dare call it murder?
Do you believe that the Oklahoma atrocity was done deliberately and by design for the purpose of utilizing it as a tool to pass this legislation to eliminate the circulation of information?
I believe that the Oklahoma bombing came down just as I was informed it would be, the purpose being to take down a federal building in retaliation and to take out Alan Witcher. However, I believe that the FBI and the Justice Department immediately seized upon the opportunity both to cover up government employees' complicity in that operation and to go after the militia, any other person that would speak against the Justice Department.
No, wait a minute.
And
Deborah, I want you to look right into the camera here.
Yeah.
Now, you just said
that you heard about this in advance of the event, some 2 weeks?
That's true.
So we're talking about the government, I mean, the, someone in the, who's working with the government, at least in the FBI, telling her that in advance of the event that there was going to be an event on a federal building. Is this correct?
That's correct. And I announced that to the McClendon News Service in Washington, D.C. the day before the Oklahoma City bombing.
Sarah McClendon?
Yes.
This whole thing is a sham. Is that what you're saying? I mean...
Yeah.
Was there an assault? Was there an ambush? I don't see how a church can ambush a group of people coming over to raid a church.
That's what's interesting, is the government from day one has come in on us and violated our civil rights, violated our constitutional rights, you know, murdered us, and then has taken this whole front that they were the victims. They almost made it seem like we went out gunning for them. You know, and they say that they were met with gunfire from 40 different positions and they were ambushed. Well, if we had fully automatic weapons and we were at 40 different positions waiting for them, not one of those agents would have walked off the cattle trailers. What I'm saying to you is that there was never any malicious intent to kill government agents.
Did any of you fire a shot first?
No.
Not one shot?
No, the people that I spoke to all are conclusive. They all swear that they were fired at first and they fired back in defense. The plan was never to kill anybody.
You mean to say that the church did not raid the ATF, the ATF raided the church?
I think that's pretty obvious considering where we were and where they were.
It should be pretty obvious to you that the government is lying.
No, I personally witnessed there is no war on drugs. I saw the cocaine that was being shipped into the MENA airport operation.
I mean, you personally saw cocaine being shipped into the MENA airport? I mean, personally.
Well, I personally saw tons of it stored in a warehouse that was under my name in at the Guadalajara airport, cocaine that was destined for the United States. And
was the president of the United States, then governor of the state of Arkansas, knowledgeable about this cocaine?
From going back to sworn testimony on his end of the spectrum, we deposed a trooper named L.D. Brown, who said that he likewise had discovered the cocaine coming into MENA. He took that evidence directly to his boss, Bill Clinton, and Clinton did absolutely nothing to interfere with it. In fact, quite the opposite, told Mr. Brown to ignore it, that it was okay, that was Dan Lasseter's deal.
On April 19th, initially reported, after having the day before reported that a building would be attacked. On the morning of the bombing, I made a few public statements, one of which was that there were three devices inside the building that were responsible for bringing the building down, and the truck outside had nothing to do with it, if there ever had been a truck outside, because to this date, I am still pat in my statement that Ryder truck was not in front of the building at the time of the detonation. And I also, on the morning of the bombing, demanded that the government come forward with their alleged ATM tapes, because there was one especially touted from them that was supposed to have been in a bank ATM, and another one from what was supposed to have been a phone company surveillance camera. The average ATM surveillance area is a minimum of 1,000 feet.
Now, but how about the resolution of the film with regards to somebody who's a thousand feet away? We're talking 100 yards, over 100 yards,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I'm one of the leading video experts in this country. In fact, I delivered to the FBI in November of 92 the technology that allowed them to clear up what we call fuzzy pictures. On my own computer in my office, had someone given me a tape that day out of an ATM, I personally have the ability, which is the equipment I have, to have cleared up that picture to perfect resolution, full color, in under 9 minutes.
Now, could it be that these ATM pictures, not only one but two, just didn't work that way a day, just the way the videotape didn't work getting pictures of the assault at Waco when Koresh went out to talk to them and they opened fire on them? The government has testified that they had a film or a tape of all of this, and that tape suddenly disappeared.
They said it came out blank. It came out blank, 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 blank.
How about Janet Reno? I call her the Heinrich Himmler of the American legal system.
You know, I mean, all the contradictions we have.
Yeah.
Janet Reno, she's making the ultimate decisions, right? In other words, it's up to her to find out what the CS gas is. For anyone to say that she used CS gas because she thought it was the most harmless form of gas she could use against the children is an obvious liar. All the information about CS gas shows how harmful it is. In Israel, there's a special documentation used against CS gas because 20 kids have died from the use of CS gas. It's only to be used outdoors in a riot-controlled situation, and it's expressly harmful to young women, to women and young children with smaller respiratory tracts. It'll kill them. Anybody that knows anything about CS gas knows this, and yet she said that this was a harmless form of gas that she could find. It's a lie.
Now, you talked about the Oklahoma bombing 2 weeks in advance.
Right.
And the day before this went off, you were talking about...
specifically, that a federal building would be attacked.
Specifically, the day before.
Right, and the day of, I specifically stated there were three devices inside the building and there was no Ryder truck out front.
And would you tell America just how many members of the press you told us to and how many of those actually published it?
I have copied this to every major news media in this country and outside of this country. And I haven't talked to anyone, and I have certainly not been contacted by anyone.
What do you mean?
You
talked to them, but they didn't.
But they haven't printed.
They haven't talked to you. They have no calls, no callbacks.
No. In fact, the Washington Post, Serge Kovaleski, who's been maligning the militia and everyone else, said to me, "I have no problem with your credibility. I just can't print your story."
We take a look at the, one of the most recent murders, or at least I call them murders, or Arkansides, Ron Brown. Do you think that there's any way that that plane went down accidentally?
I personally don't. I know that the jury's still out. In fact, his widow, from what I understand, is not accepting the verdict of the government or the assumption of the government that the plane was in an accident. So she is challenging it, and I mean, if you believe everything that at least you and I have heard about the fact that the tail section was in one piece and that parts of the plane fell in the ocean and supposedly one person came out of the flight, got on the helicopter and died of a massive blood loss. So there seems to be some questions to be answered on that too. There's many questions, Anthony, as you know, that you and I as kind of investigative reporter type talk show hosts are dealing with on these issues, and it does keep us very busy.
Having witnessed his relationship with the Central Intelligence Agency, at that point it was very apparent to me that Bill Clinton would cut any kind of a deal with anyone under any conditions if it advanced his power base.
Should Clinton be impeached for high treason?
At minimum, I think Clinton should resign. Hillary's been indicted over the Whitewater issue, and that's still not apparently very public knowledge. And I think he will be pressured to resign rather than have her indictment unveiled.
Now, Webb Hubble is out of jail to act as this credible witness in the Waco whitewash hearings. And everybody believed him. And nobody even talked about Vince Foster being Arkansided or murdered. They didn't talk about that. It was a presumption of suicide. I mean, can anybody with a logical, rational mind accept what they are simply stating as fact when it's actually fiction?
I don't think any reasonable person would follow that. And forensically, there's no evidence other than a murder in the Foster murder. There is no suicide evidence at all.
And the Oklahoma bombing. Who did it?
Our government employees pulled that, a whole operation off. There were some special ops people out of a base in Alabama that actually planted the devices. They were at the direction of a team of people headed by Robert Getzler.
Who threatened to kill you? And
if I talked about that. And concurrent with that, the senior people from the Air Force that supervised the project that Getzman and I and the others reported on to Gunter Air Force Base, the National Network Surveillance Project, the head of the Air Force Technology Acquisition Team, he and his assistant were on the downed Lear craft that was bombed and taken down days before the Oklahoma City bombing.
Now, we are in deep kimchi. This is not Hill. but you can see it from here. There's nothing wrong with your set. But there is something that is drastically wrong when over 100 people who've threatened to expose or embarrass the president have met with sudden and violent death. This man must be exposed for who he is and what he's doing, or there will be devastating consequences. Taken off guard, leaving just one of the many Ron Brown eulogies used to milk the black vote, this double-talking demagogue is caught laughing until he spots the camera. He instantly starts to shed crocodile tears. The transition takes less than 2 seconds. At one moment, he's seen shaking Jesse Jackson's hand. The next, he's referring to him as that dumb nigger.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey, something's not right.
Throw out your arms. Clinton's got a lot of asses through. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with the power to tax. If you've got a complaint, send us a fax.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to grow old. Dance the two-step and do what you're told.
Hillary Shalala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike. Demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said, Lucifer is God across this land. And Clinton saying, take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of the Fourth Reich, Clinton's preparing us for another huge tax
hike.
Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic, then rape the nation. Crisis creation. Incite black and white. Program agitation.
Don't make this. You're surrounded by the UN in white and blue, the ATF, the men in black, but the one world order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beast, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get hip. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination biochip, milk carton kits, genetic engineering. Clinton says their health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's robbing face. Masonic mind manipulation. Inciting riots, it's crisis creation. Biochip implantation. Vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of health care benefits that are always there and that can never be taken away. Ever be taken away. Ever be taken away.
Atmospheric. Social illusion. Media hype. Planned confusion.
Masonic religion. It's a liar. Not your brain. For a Luciferian Messiah.
The Illuminati thinks that they're enlightened, that they're to be the gods of Earth, born of incest from the sons of Satan and their sisters in satanic birth.
hidden agenda. Kissinger, Nixon, Ford, and Bill. While your kids out back smoking crack for some cheap thrill. They've numbed us down and dumbed us down with fluoride TV drugs, the NEA, and public schools. They've taken your brightest and our best and made them public fools. With managed media, brain-bending lies, and stealth, the banksters stole your wealth. Johnson, Bush, Carter, Reagan, Gore, and Dan, they've all been pushing pipes, Masonic master plan. Rhodes Scholar oration. Clinton speaks, then rapes the nation. Luciferian subjugation. New World Order Illuminati coronation. Orders of the Quest. Think they're superior, they think that they're the best. Skull and Bones, Scroll and Key, Knights Templar, Harvard University. Knights of the Golden Circle, Ancient Order of the Rosen Cross, CFR, Albatross. MK Ultra, ISA, from the OSS to the CIA. Galileo, NASA, Jupiter, Plutonium 2000, New Sun. Pyramid Giza, Hitler called it the Luciferian Millennium.
Wake up, stupid, and read the scoop. Mullen, Sutton, Griffin, and tune in to Coop.